This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of ulnar carpal abutment syndrome from the hand section on orthobullets.com. Ulnar carpal abutment syndrome is a syndrome caused by excessive impact stress between the ulna and carpal bones, primarily the lunate. This condition is associated with a positive ulnar variance. As far as the pathoanatomy in ulnar carpal abutment syndrome, in a wrist with plus 2 mm ulnar variance, approximately 40% of the load goes to the ulna, and 60% goes to the radius. Again, in a wrist with plus 2 mm ulnar variance, approximately 40% of the load goes to the ulna, and 60% to the radius. In a normal neutral wrist, approximately 20% of the load goes to the ulna, and 80% goes to the radius. Again, in a normal neutral wrist, approximately 20% of the load goes to the ulna and 80% to the radius. Associated conditions with ulnar carpal abutment syndrome include a positive ulnar variance that can be seen in the setting of a scapholunate dissociation, TFCC tears, lunotriquetral ligament tears, as well as radial shortening from a previous Colles fracture. As far as the presentation of ulnar carpal abutment syndrome, symptoms can include pain on the dorsal side of the DRUJ, increased pain with ulnar deviation of the wrist, pain with axial loading, and ulnar-sided wrist pain. Physical exam in these patients should include the Ballottman test, Nakamura's ulnar stress test, and the fovea test. The Ballottman test will show dorsal and palmar displacement of the ulna with the wrist in ulnar deviation. A positive test produces pain. Nakamura's ulnar stress test is ulnar deviation of a pronated wrist while axially loading, flexing, and extending the wrist. A positive test produces pain. The fovea test is used to evaluate for TFCC tears or ulnotriquetral ligament tears. This is performed by palpation of the ulnar wrist between the styloid and the FCU tendon. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP radiograph with the wrist in neutral supination slash pronation and zero rotation. This is required to evaluate ulnar variance. A pronated grip view increases radiographic impaction, and arthrography can show TFCC tears and lunotriquetral ligament tears. Findings on radiographs can include an ulnar positive variance, as well as sclerosis of the lunate and ulnar head. An MRI can be obtained to evaluate for TFCC tears, which may be caused by ulnar carpal impingement and often influences treatment. The differential in ulnar-sided wrist pain includes DRUJ instability or arthritis, TFCC tear, LT ligament tear, piezotriquetral arthritis, and ECU tendonitis or instability. Treatment of ulnar carpal abutment syndrome can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes supportive measures, which may be attempted as first line of treatment. Operative options for ulnar carpal abutment syndrome include an ulnar shortening osteotomy, the wafer procedure, the Darrick procedure, otherwise known as ulnar head resection, the Sauve-Capangi procedure, ulnar hemiresection arthroplasty, and ulnar head replacement. Indications for an ulnar shortening osteotomy is in most cases of ulnar positive variance, as well as most cases of DRUJ incongruity. In the wafer procedure, the technique involves 2 to 4 millimeters of cartilage and bone that is removed from under the TFCC arthroscopically. Indications for the Darrick procedure or ulnar head resection is reserved for lower demand patients. Complications include risk of proximal ulnar stump instability. The Sauve-Capangi procedure is a good option for manual laborers. The technique creates a distal radial ulnar fusion and an ulnar pseudoarthrosis proximal to the fusion site through which rotation can occur. An ulnar hemiresection arthroplasty usually requires an intact or reconstructed TFCC. This is an appropriate treatment option in the presence of a post-traumatic DRUJ with concomitant distal ulnar degenerative changes. An ulnar head replacement is indicated for severe ulnar carpal arthrosis. It's also indicated for salvage after a failed Darrick procedure. As far as outcomes, early results are promising, however, long-term results are pending. As far as the technique for an ulnar shortening osteotomy, the approach is the subcutaneous approach to the ulna, and the technique is often combined with an arthroscopic TFCC repair. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 32-year-old carpenter has a six-month history of ulnar-sided wrist pain that is worsened opening a jar, squeezing a wet towel, typing, or changing a gear shift. A plain radiograph shows ulnar-positive variants and mild cystic changes in the lunate. In T1 and T2 MRI images of the wrist, there is increased signal in both the lunate and ulnar head. All of the following concerning ulnar shortening osteotomy are true except, and the choices are 1, care should be taken to avoid the dorsal sensory branch of the ulnar nerve, 2, results are encouraging even for those with degenerative changes in the distal radial ulnar joint, 3, placement of the plate to the dorsal surface of the ulna can cause tendinitis of the extensor carpi ulnaris, 4, concomitant arthroscopy may be indicated for patients with concurrent tears of the triangular fibrocartilage complex, and 5, degenerative cystic changes of the ulnar carpal bones can resolve after the ulnar shortening osteotomy. The correct answer to this question is 2, results are encouraging even for those with degenerative changes in the distal radial ulnar joint. So for patients with ulnar impaction syndrome, concomitant arthrosis in the distal radial ulnar joint, or DRUJ, is a contraindication to ulnar shortening osteotomy. To quickly review, ulnar impaction syndrome is caused by abutment of the ulnar head into the carpal bones. It is worsened by activities that have wrist rotation and ulnar deviation. A positive ulnar variance with or without cystic changes of the carpus is often seen on plain radiographs. Coexisting central TFCC tears are common and can be addressed by simultaneous arthroscopic or open debridement. Bake et al. Describes 31 patients that had improved Gartland and Wehrli scores following ulnar shortening osteotomy. They also noted that all patients with degenerative cystic changes had resolution of the cysts at 1 to 2 year follow-up, and they include a detailed outline of their surgical technique. Chun et al. Similarly reviewed 30 wrists of 27 patients with ulnar impaction syndrome with very good outcomes with minimal complications and no ulnar nonunions following ulnar shortening osteotomy. Exclusion criteria included any existing arthrosis in the DRUJ. Moving on to the next question. A 42-year-old construction worker presents with pain in his right wrist. A current radiograph of the wrist shows significant DRUJ arthritis. He reports that rotating activities such as turning a screwdriver are bothersome and the pain is preventing him from working. A current MRI reveals a TFCC tear and non-surgical treatment has failed to provide relief. Treatment should now consist of, and the choices are 1, repair of the ulnar styloid nonunion, 2, Darrick resection of the distal ulna, 3, complete ulnar head resection, 4, ulnar hemiresection arthroplasty and TFCC reconstruction / repair, and 5, isolated arthroscopic TFCC reconstruction. The correct answer to this question is 4, ulnar hemiresection arthroplasty and TFCC reconstruction / repair. So the clinical presentation is consistent with DRUJ arthritis in a heavy laborer. Of the options that we mentioned, ulnar hemiresection arthroplasty with concurrent TFCC reconstruction or repair would be the most appropriate treatment. While there are multiple treatment options, the ulnar hemiresection arthroplasty with concurrent TFCC reconstruction or repair is considered most appropriate in heavy laborers as it would likely resolve the pain and enable them to return to work sooner. The TFCC should be intact when performing an ulnar hemiresection arthroplasty to prevent distal ulna instability with forearm rotation. One could also consider performing a suave Kapanji procedure. This procedure creates a distal radial ulnar fusion and an ulnar pseudoarthrosis proximal to the fusion site through which rotation can occur. The advantage is that the ulnar carpal joint is not sacrificed and a stable wrist is created. Schecker et al. Reported on the outcome of ulnar shortening performed on 32 wrists with early osteoarthritis of the DRUJ. The postoperative wrist ratings were 7 out of 32 excellent, 11 out of 32 good, 9 out of 32 fair, 5 out of 32 poor, with plate irritation being the most frequent postoperative complication. And moving on to the final question. An ulnar shortening osteotomy would be most indicated for which of the following patients presenting with long-standing ulnar-sided wrist pain refractory to conservative measures. And the choices are 1, 34-year-old female with an ulnar-neutral wrist and distal radial ulnar joint incongruity, to 34-year-old female with an ulnar positive wrist and distal radial ulnar joint incongruity. 3, 34-year-old female with an ulnar negative wrist and distal radial ulnar joint incongruity. 4, 78-year-old female with ulnar positive wrist and distal radial ulnar joint arthritis. And 5, 78-year-old female with ulnar negative wrist and distal radial ulnar joint arthritis. The correct answer to this question is 2, 34-year-old female with an ulnar positive wrist and distal radial ulnar joint incongruity. So ulnar shortening osteotomy is the best procedure for young adults with long-standing ulnar-sided wrist pain due to ulnar positive variants and associated distal radial ulnar joint or DRUJ incongruity. Ulnar positive variants causes an ulnar impaction syndrome as the distal ulnar styloid can cause damage to the triangular fibrocartilage complex or TFCC as well as the ulnocarpal joint. Advantages of an ulnar shortening osteotomy include preservation of the ulnar dome articular cartilage and the DRUJ joint, and also tightens the TFCC and ulnocarpal ligaments as the distal ulna is translated and fixed proximally after the osteotomy. It is also important to note that ulnar shortening in the setting of preoperative DRUJ incongruity may simultaneously decrease ulnocarpal abutment and improve congruity at the distal radial ulnar articulation. One specific instance in which to avoid an ulnar shortening in an ulnar positive wrist with DRUJ incongruity is a joint with a reverse oblique inclination in the coronal plane. This may create abnormally high radial ulnar contact and may lead to joint degeneration. That's all for this review about ulnocarpal abutment syndrome. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.